Right, it's been a very good song service to this point, and appreciated the songs of joy. And sometimes you get so focused on singing about joy, it doesn't always show on my face, but these are joyful songs that we were singing, and that really is the topic of our passage today. You can see the title on your outline, Fullness of Joy. So as we begin the new year, we're going to begin by starting a new study in the book of 1 John in the Bible. So 1 John chapter 1 is where we'll be spending this morning. The book of 1 John, and many of you probably have some verses memorized out of 1 John, but this book has been a blessing and an encouragement for believers throughout the centuries. Just a little information to begin with about the book of 1 John. It's obviously a short letter written by the Apostle John, the one whom Jesus loved, the author of the Gospel of John, the obviously 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the author of the book of Revelation. So he's written several books in our Bible. And 1st John, this short epistle is a letter written to believers. All right, he addresses the recipients of this letter as brethren in chapter 2, verse 7, as those who have an anointing from the Holy One in chapter 2 and verse 20. He also uses terms like we and us regularly and often, referring to the readers and putting them in the same category as himself in regards to being followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is written to believers. The theme verse, or what many consider to be the theme verse of 1 John, which is 1 John 5:13, states that he is writing to those who believe on the name of the Son of God. It makes it pretty clear that the recipients of this are those who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today we're going to look at John's introduction to this letter, the first four verses, where he tells us that he is writing this letter to the recipients, which would be include you. He is writing this letter so that you would have fullness of joy. In fact, John says this will be our joy as well. So let's begin. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Again, I know we've already read it earlier in the service, but just the first two verses, 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. This life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So he begins with this declaration. In verse 2, you said, we declare to you. This is his message. This is their, he said, we have a declaration. We have a statement of truth. These verses are about what the apostles and John have seen and heard. Some of it is visible. Some of it is verbal. They've heard things, and they're declaring to us this message. They're declaring this message about Jesus Christ, which they have heard and seen. We, on the other hand, have heard it. All right? And this is where, remember when doubting Thomas, when he said, don't be believing, but, or don't be unbelieving, but believe. And he said, here, put your hands in my, in the nail prints in my hand and touch the sword that had gone through my side, touch the wound there. And he said, blessed are those who have not seen and will believe. Jesus said that after he, in his comments to Thomas. So John is saying, I'm one of the ones who has seen and heard. And I'm declaring a message to you. So even though you haven't seen, you can still hear the message from one who has seen, both seen and heard. So we are the ones who have heard. We're listening to the declaration of the apostles. We have their declaration in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of John. Throughout the scriptures, we have their declaration in the four gospels of what they've seen and heard in reference to the gospel message, which is about a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he begins, he ends verse 1 with concerning the word of life. So verse 1 begins, that which was from the beginning, and then it ends with concerning the word of life. So what is this word of life? And I'll tell you, typically when I've read these passages, I always go immediately to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, John writes in John chapter 1, in the Gospel of John chapter 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in our Bibles here, when it's capitalized, Word of Life, that leads you to go and think about Jesus, who is the Word. I think it might be just slightly broader than that, all right? Just slightly. The word of life may not be specifically Jesus Christ, but the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the message that was first preached by Jesus himself. Actually, I shouldn't say that. The gospel has been the same throughout history, but this is the same gospel that was preached by Jesus Christ, that he was the one who was the Savior. Previous to that, we didn't know who the Savior was. Now, he's here. He's alive. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Those were his words. That is his message. And again, his message is about a person, himself. Jesus taught Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So Jesus gives the words of life, which are concerning himself. That's why he's called the Word. He is communication. Jesus shows us who God is because he was God in the flesh. Jesus shows us what we are supposed to be because he is perfect man. And so Jesus is communication to us. That's why his title is the Word. He communicates so much to us. And it is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. John and the apostles were witnesses not just to Jesus the person, but also to the good news that Jesus is the person who saves sinners. I want to give you, and so what I'm saying is specifically when it's talking about the word of life, it is encompasses the entire truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Savior. And so it is, let me give you an example. This phrase is used elsewhere, not by John. All right, if you go to Philippians 2, 15 and 16, we'll read these words. This is Paul writing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Did you catch that? He said, you, talking to the Philippian believers, you are in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, and you need to shine as lights, holding fast the word of life. The truth of the gospel, which, by the way, is Jesus Christ. Do you see how it's? Here's another example of this. You're familiar with Matthew 16, where Peter makes that great declaration where Jesus asks who do you say that I am? And he and Peter says that you're the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus, remember, he made that statement. He said, you are Peter, your name means stone, but upon this rock I will build my church. Now, the two options for rock that I would suggest to you that are debated over are, is the rock Jesus Christ, or is the rock Peter's confession of Jesus Christ, the truth he states about Jesus Christ? All right? The answer is yes. They go together. It is Jesus Christ and the truth about Jesus Christ, the message that is proclaimed. And that's what we're looking at in this passage, is he's sharing that which was from the beginning, the message, the truth about Jesus Christ that has not changed since Jesus was alive and before he ascended. And it's the same message that Jesus proclaimed. It's the same message that I'm writing to you about now. The gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ hasn't changed. It's the same gospel. It's the word of life. It's the communication of God to man that is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's where I'm just saying it's just slightly bigger than Jesus Christ himself. It's all the truth concerning him that is passed on in the message that is communicated that he is declaring. All right? And so it's about Jesus and everything, all the truths communicated about him and by him. All right? Now, this truth was from the beginning. This gospel hasn't changed. It's the exact same message. In fact, if you want to even go back to the very beginning, as soon as man sinned, there was a message of hope that Satan, the one who wanted mankind dead and destroyed, that's the only motivation he could have for telling them, because Satan knew God. You think Satan thought God ever lied? No, he knew what God said is true. And what did he say? You're not surely going to die. Why would he do that? Because he wanted man to die. He wanted mankind to be destroyed. And yet, and then of course we know the story, Adam and Eve both ate of the fruit, they sinned, and we have the curse of sin, the death that results, and right away God says that Satan, the one who wanted man dead, will be defeated himself. That a descendant of the woman, that there will be a descendant of the woman, that a man that will crush Satan. And this includes his purpose that mankind would die, should be destroyed. So John is sharing this message, which was from the beginning, which we have heard. That's the oral part of this declaration. We've heard. They've heard the words of Jesus. They heard it directly from Jesus. As I said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And so they've heard it directly from Jesus. And then he goes on and he says, which we have seen with our eyes. All right? They saw, not they didn't just hear the truths, they saw the truth. what they heard was verified by what they saw. This is part of Jesus' communication. They saw the Son of God perform miracles that no man can do. They saw him do acts that reflect that he was the Son of God. And they saw him do it in the flesh as man. Both of those are two aspects of the truths that Paul is teaching here, this gospel, this declaration of Jesus Christ, that historically have been denied, that Jesus is either the Son of God or that he literally came in the flesh as man. Either one of those, you deny either one of those and you're denying the message, the gospel. Those are both crucial parts of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel message. So what they heard, they saw the Son of God. They saw Jesus on the cross, bearing our sins, forsaken by the Father when he cried out. They saw Jesus die. They knew he was dead. They saw him placed in the tomb. They saw the same things that led the centurion, remember, who saw those things, say, surely this is the Son of God. And so he's saying, we were there, we saw these things. We can verify the truth of the message. We have seen this with our eyes. We've seen aspects of this, the gospel of Christ Jesus. We've seen him, that these things are true with our own eyes. We have looked upon, very similar to we have seen, but they looked upon his dead body in the grave, and they looked upon his resurrected body, and as I've already talked to you about Thomas, they touched the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. They saw him. Maybe before his death, they may have handled him in that boat, remember, where they're thinking they're going to drown and the boat's going to capsize and Jesus is asleep. You know, they might have handled him a little bit then and said, hey, Jesus, wake up, we're about to die. But they also handled him after his resurrection. All right? That which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, and this is all concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of life, the message that Jesus Christ came to communicate, that he is the word, that he is the Logos. And so when we see this, we obviously see the Lord Jesus Christ in his descriptions that John is giving here. This life was manifested. It was shown to us. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the giver of life. In Colossians, or I'm back even in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, all things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Anything made came through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the giver of life. All things that live were made through the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the Father, he is the Son of life. And he is the one who gives life. He is the manifested life, the eternal life. And the gospel message, he gives life. It is a message of life. He communicates life. That's what he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he will live. Speaking of their own resurrection. And so, the apostles, the eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, he obviously includes the apostles, but I'm sure he includes all those who saw the Lord Jesus Christ, because later Jesus' half-brothers would also be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw him. There were other disciples who followed Jesus. They may have not been part of the 12, but they were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is the word of life, this life that was manifested, again, that we have seen and that we bear witness of and declare to you. Not just another life, but eternal life, and the one who gives eternal life. If I continue down in verse 2, this life was manifested. We have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to you. And there again, you see this message of who Jesus was. He was the light. He was always with the Father to eternity past, and he was shown to us. And we declare it to you, who Jesus was and this message of hope. And this leads to our next point. In verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship. John said, this is the declaration of those who have seen that Jesus is the Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He did pay for your sins on the cross. And John is a witness of that, the gospel message that of who Jesus is. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is what leads us to the joy of fellowship. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship. And we're going to see three parties here. That you may also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. The result of this message, if it is accepted and believed in, which the message is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you trust in and believe in him, the result is fellowship. First of all, fellowship with those who, like John, who have declared the message to you, the word of life to you, the good news that is Jesus Christ and how he took your place on the cross, how bore the wrath of God for your sins. He died like a criminal, but not for his criminal past, for our criminal past. And then he rose again in victory. This gospel, when it is accepted and received, leads to fellowship. What is fellowship? Fellowship is a partnership, a participation together in something. In the English definition of the word, you'll see words like friendship and companionship. One of the definitions I saw online was a close association of friends or equals sharing similar interests. A clear of association of friends sharing similar interests. This gospel leads to fellowship, friendship, partnership, participation together in something. That's what this message of the person Jesus Christ leads to. And this fellowship has, he goes through the components of that fellowship. First of all, with each other. Later today, we're going to partake in the communion service, which is remembering what the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is what we are participating together in, which is what brings us into friendship with each other, common interests, a common focus. We've received the gospel, the message that John and others have declared, that is Jesus Christ. We've believed in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And it brings that into a narrow focus, and that communion would be another word of fellowship. We're communing together in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an eternal relationship. Those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the message that he can save and have placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have an eternal fellowship. Do you understand that? Everyone who here who is trusting Christ, you're never going to get rid of each other. You might as well just get to know and like each other, because it's not going away. All right? We have fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is an eternal fellowship. We have an eternal relationship with each other as children of God. We are part of the same family. So literally, we're part of the same family. When we get together to worship the Lord, when we fellowship along the Lord's table, this is family, the children of God, getting together, rejoicing in their, remember the phrase from our hymn, our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, and also our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father who sent him. We are fellowshipping together in our common gospel. And so we have fellowship with each other. And if we lose that focus, and if we stray from that truth, and we start to have our eyes on earthly things, and we have other things that we begin to let creep into our lives that are more important than the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? That fellowship is hurt. That fellowship is harm, because our fellowship is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're not in fellowship, because look at the next one. Truly our fellowship is with the Father. He said it's bigger than just with each other. We are in fellowship. We are participating with the Father. And he says truly, because I don't know, maybe because you might not believe this, but in truth, you actually have fellowship with God. And that's an incredible thing, to think that we can have friendship. We see that in the Bible. God called Abraham the friend of God. Moses, he said, I speak to him as a friend. You can have the friend of God, you having similar interests. A friend of God, fellowship. Communion with God the Father. It's real. It's not unattainable. That's why John is writing to us. He said, this is the message you take, and you have fellowship with me, and you have fellowship with God Almighty, the Almighty Father. Doesn't get any bigger or better than that. And with Jesus Christ, his Son. You have fellowship with the one who made this all possible for you. You have fellowship with the Son who took your place on the cross. You get to be friends, and John got to experience that because he saw Jesus. He was with Jesus. He had a glimpse. He got a better glimpse, and he says, this is what you have, fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who bought your salvation with his own blood. This is why this message is shared. It brings fellowship with God, fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and fellowship with all those who are also in fellowship with God through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know this is what the church is? This is what our church is. It is those, the church is made up of those who have believed in the Son of God, the message John declares, who gives eternal life. It's those who have identified with Jesus Christ and his gospel. What's the main way you identify with the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel? Baptism. It doesn't save you, but it's your proclamation. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am identifying with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. I am identifying that he's the one who washes away my sin. I'm identifying that I'm baptized into the body of Christ. I become a part of the body of Christ through the Holy Spirit. All these, this is what the church is. It is the fellowship. The church is composed of these people who have believed in the word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he is communicating to us about how he can save. The church isn't a club. Not like the Lions Club or I don't know what other clubs there are, bowling clubs, golf clubs. There's a little bit of a joke in there, if you caught it. It's not a club membership, and then you have, you just look at it and you decide if I want to do it. Well, I'm tired of it now. I'm done with this. I'm done with the Lions Club for a while. I've served there for a while. I'm going to move on. That's not what church is. And I would encourage you, you need to understand this is what church membership is. That's what church members, it's just being a part of the local fellowship of believers. All those, and so I know many of you are members. I have a Bible study at Ann's house where we have a bunch of people meet together from many different churches, and I tell them over and over, you need to be a member of a local church because that is that's the fellowship of believers. That's what it is. I'm a part of the fellowship of those who have received this declaration of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a part of the fellowship. It's being a part of the local fellowship of believers in Christ Jesus. That's what it is. I'm a member. I'm a part of this fellowship. That's really all that it is. And this is, by the way, when we look at church membership, this is why we include baptism and a testimony as part of the process. You're proclaiming your identification with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have believed the message, that you have taken it, that you're with God's salvation, you're with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're his follower, and you're a part of those, of God's children, God's people. It's that simple. Well, look on the last verse here. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. And that word full is important to note because it's not at all like my favorite two-word phrase, which is pretty good. That's pretty good. I use it a lot for a lot of things. Yeah, that's pretty good. This is not pretty good. Full joy. Joy that is full is not pretty good joy. It is joy that is maxed out. It's a picture of a fishing net that is crammed full of fish you can't fit anymore in. Filled to maximum capacity. John is saying, I'm writing this to you so you can have full joy. Wouldn't you love full joy? Well, I just don't really need it right now. You know, I'd rather be a little, little somber, I like to have just a slight case of depression going on. No, we love fullness of joy. That's the promise. That's what he's saying. I'm writing these things so you can have fullness of joy, that your joy may be full. Here's something interesting. Depending on the translation of the scripture you're reading, it may say your joy may be full, or it may say our joy may be full. The point is, it's okay either way. The point is, the believer's joy is in fellowshipping with other believers and the Father and the Son. That's what gives real full joy, fellowship. So guess what? Guess what that means? when our joy is not full. There's broken fellowship. It may be broken fellowship with God, maybe broken fellowship, and probably broken fellowship with God means we have broken fellowship with each other. When there is sin involved, then we don't have full joy. Because you'll notice that full joy here found in fellowship with one another, with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, that fullness of joy isn't found in the pleasures this world can offer. It's not going to make you joyful. Now, we try to find joy. I have spent a lot of time trying to find joy in the pleasures of this world. We can try to find joy in possessions, in our own greatness or excellence, the pride of life, you know, personal glory. I'm the best at this, I'm the best at that, or I'm at least better than this person. You know, and we try to find joy in the pride of life. But none of those things bring joy. And if you're trying to find joy in those things and you're wondering why it's missing, that's why. Because John is writing, where does the fullness of joy come from? It comes when you have unhindered partnership, friendship, communion, fellowship with the Father. And with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and with his children that are also in fellowship. And so if you find that your cup of joy isn't full, and maybe at times it even feels nearly empty, that should be a little trigger to you to say, oh, the joy is gone. I got to look to the fellowship. Where am I not in fellowship with the Father? Where am I not in fellowship with his Son and with one another? I consider this part of the theme verse. We write these things. John says, I'm writing this so that your joy may be full. The theme verse of 1 John is chapter 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. That you may know. I'm writing to those who have believed in the Son of God, that you may know. I'm confirming to you that you have eternal life, that you are that you are in fellowship with God, that you are right with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That sounds like something that would bring joy as well, wouldn't it? Fellowship with God. Well, there might be someone here who's not in this category because they have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And maybe you don't know enough about him. And I'd invite you to ask me any questions you have, and I don't need to convince you. I'll show you what God's word says about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he offers eternal life to all those who will take it in faith through the Lord Jesus Christ and how he took your place on the cross. I'll answer any questions I can. If you're not in the category as one who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll answer any questions. I'll help you as much as I can, so feel free to come talk to me, because you can do that today. And secondly, as a believer, you might be trying to find joy in things that can't bring joy, because your joy cannot be full when there is sin that is harming your fellowship with God and his children. You're still a child of God, but the joy is missing because you're out of fellowship. And when we try to fill that cup of joy with the things of this earth, then we're missing out on real joy, the fullness of joy that is walking in fellowship with God and his children. And next time, John is going to continue this discussion. And he's going to continue talking about what it means, how to know you are in fellowship with God, and how sin affects that. And so we're going to continue that, but at least he introduces us to the topic that fullness of joy is yours, and it comes through fellowship with your, with the Father, with the Son, and with one another. Again, I'll give you opportunity for questions in the service later this morning. Let's close in prayer. Father, I do want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the communication. We see God in the flesh. We see our example of perfect man, and Lord, we see the one who took our place and paid the penalty for our sins. We are so thankful and grateful. At the same time, we are horrified that it was our sin that led our Savior to the cross to suffer what we deserve. But Lord, he also, we rejoice, he rose again in victory. He was raised from the dead, and he promises that same resurrection to all who will place their burden of sin on him and accept his suffering in their place. That exchange, that gift that comes through Jesus Christ, our substitute, who bore your wrath. Thank you for him and sending him, and we do praise and honor him in the same way we honor you as Almighty God and our Father. We honor the Son as Almighty God and our Savior. Lord, help us to walk in fellowship with both you, with your Son, and with one another, Lord. And if there are things that are hindering that fellowship, please show them to us so that we can turn from them and back to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.